Good evening, everyone. This is the 26th of June, Saturday evening, and we're going to start, we're going to break a tradition, a long-held tradition, and we're going to start worshiping on Saturday evening. And Constantine might not like it very much, but you know what? I don't care. He's dead. Okay? Just wanted to give some announcements before we started the service tonight. I want to ask for special prayer for Tori's son. I got a request from her a while ago. He works for UPS. He's a UPS driver. And you know those UPS trucks don't have any air conditioning in them? And it's been so hot that sometimes it gets up to 118 degrees in those trucks. And so I sent, Rick Batorik sent me a little thing that goes over your, it's like a headset that's a portable air conditioner, has a battery with it. And so I sent a copy, a link to that to Tori. I hope that will help her son, but let's remember her son in prayer. Also, I would like for you all to remember my son as well. He's has had some struggles as of late, pronounced short-term memory, and it's very disconcerting for him and for us. He's used to being able to remember things, and now it's starting to fade, and so remember Mark in prayer, and that God would give us the grace and the patience to deal with it. Just little things. I had given him the computer to put in the truck before we went up to Northwest Missouri, and he went out with the computer. Unbeknownst to me, he put it out on the table outside, and it sat outside all the time we were gone. It's still working, but if it had rained, it would have been destroyed, probably. So, just little things like that. Tonight, Mark is going to read some scripture for us, and then we're going to sing some hymns, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about tonight. I'll turn the camera around so you can see Mark and Rosette. Just read a scripture.
Psalm 134, a psalm of
grace. Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah. Psalm 134, a psalm of grace. Behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stay in the house, Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee, Abziah.
Okay, thank you, Mark. That was Psalm 134?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, the first hymn we're going to sing is We'll Wait. And we will wait. We don't have any choice in the matter. Now, the Arminians used to sing it will work till Jesus comes. And the old school Baptists sing we'll wait till Jesus comes. I like we'll wait and work till Jesus comes. I like a combination of both of them. Because we're not just to sit on our laurels. We're not to be weary in well-doing. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? All right. 259.
You said 259?
259.
Yeah, I have the psalm book.
In this book.
Okay. Oh.
O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait and wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait and wait till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. I sought at once my Savior's side. No more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll wait and wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait and wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. Okay, the next one is 211. On the mountains. Monday, we're going to be headed down to Ozark National Park. Have a little getaway, from, get a little respite from our work. Looking forward to that little jaunt down there. On the mountaintops appearing. It's taken from Isaiah 52:7. On the mountaintop appearing, lo, the sacred herald stands. Welcome is to Zion bearing, Zion long in hostile lands. Mourning captive, God himself will loose thy bands. Mourning captive, God himself will loose thy bands. Has thy night been long and mournful? Have thy friends unfaithful proved? Have thy foes been proud and scornful? By thy sighs and tears unmoved? Cease thy mourning, Zion still is early set. Cease thy mourning, Zion still is well beloved. God thy God will now restore thee. He himself appears thy friend. All thy foes shall flee before thee. Hear their boasts and triumphs in. Great deliverance Zion's King will surely send. Great deliverance Zion's King will surely send. Peace and joy shall now attend thee. All thy warfare now be past. God thy Savior will defend thee. Victory is thine at last. All thy conflicts end in everlasting rest. All thy conflicts end in everlasting rest. Well, William Cowper wrote a song, 171, Hark the Jubilee is Sounding. Hark, the jubilee is sounding. Oh, the joyful news is come. Free salvation is proclaimed in and through God's holy Son. Now we have complete redemption through the meek and lowly Lamb. Glory, honor, and salvation, Christ the Lord is come to reign. Now let each one cease from wandering, come and follow Christ away. We shall all receive the blessing if from him we do not stray. Golden moments we've neglected, yet the Lord forgives again.
glory, honor, and salvation. Christ the Lord is come to reign.
Come, let us run our race with patience, looking unto Christ the way, who doth live and reign forever with his Father and our God. He is worthy to be praised. He is our exalted King. Glory, honor, and salvation. Christ the Lord is come to reign. Come, your children, praise your Jesus. Praise him evermore. May his great love now constrain us, so his great name we'll adore. Oh, then let us join together his wondrous name to proclaim. Glory, honor, and salvation. Christ the Lord is come to reign.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we can gather together, sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and study your word and proclaim praises to you. We ask that you would be with us tonight in a special way is our prayer. God bless. Well, if you tune in to this video, we hope that all is going well for you and your family. And we keep our friends in our prayers, and we covet your prayers as well. We're living in some very perilous times. And I could share stories all day long about things that have happened. I'm going to share one story. I find it remarkable how God brings his elect together in some strange ways sometimes. Oh, about, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago, Mark and I used to work out at the YMCA in Cameron, Missouri, about 8 miles from Weatherby. We'd go up there every day and work out in the gym. And we met a fellow there, and his name is Dave. And we struck up a relationship. And he happened to be a member of the First Baptist Church of Cameron, a Southern Baptist church. And I gave him a copy of Arthur W. Pink's Sovereignty of God. And I really didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know, you know, all I was doing was planting a seed. And so we were up in Cameron. I was up in Walmart getting some material for the rental property. And I heard in the background, Larry Phillips. And I turned around, and it was Dave Marmette. And Dave asked me, you know, what have you been doing? I said, well, I'm kind of semi-retired. I've kind of come out of retirement right now working on one of these rental properties. But I said, you know, we moved down next to Arkansas line. And I said, well, I've been busy, though. I've written 4 books. He said, 4 books? What are you writing? I said, well, the books are very provocative, you know, I must say, you know. I said, well, I wrote a poem book, and I said I did write a book about the prior case against the Phillips versus the state of Missouri, but I said the other two are not well-liked books, to be honest with you. I said one is entitled The Lies of Free Will, and I said the other one is entitled God Does Not Love Everyone, But He Does Love His Elect From Everlasting to Everlasting. And he said, well, that's right in the Bible. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And I said, wow, I said, that's exactly what I'm portraying in that book. He said, you know, I've really grown to like Arthur Pink. I've read several of his books. And so I told him about the book that I recently obtained. when taking another brother to Springfield, Missouri, he introduced me to a bookstore there entitled The Doctrine of Election by the Sovereignty of God. And I just find it amazing, and I shouldn't, that God brought Dave Marmette and I back together after 5 years, and our discussion was around the sovereignty of God and around his providential hand over our lives. God has his remnant in every tongue, every people, and every nation. And we never know how God might use some seed that we've planted, like giving someone a book or quoting a passage of scripture or even relaying a story like I'm relaying tonight, how it might have an impact. Now tonight I want to look in the I want to look at a passage in between the 61st and the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read several verses in those three chapters. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, we actually have this chapter 61. The first verse is what Christ actually stated in the New Testament when he stood up and preached. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says, and then he sat down. In the passage in Matthew, you can find the parallel passage in Matthew. Well, he says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, we have to realize that in the Old Testament, there were some Gentiles that were God's elect, including Job, for an example. And there, for the most part, the elect in the Old Testament were Jews. However, that doesn't mean that all the Jews were God's elect either. That's evident by the scripture, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, because Esau was a Jew. Now, in chapter 62, it says, verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteous therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. That must have been pretty amazing for the Jews at that time to have Isaiah proclaiming that the Gentiles would see the righteousness of God. And the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth. Well, thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Now, he says that in the 11th verse of chapter 62, he says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He was slain from the foundation of the world. Now we see in chapter 63, Isaiah goes on to further describe this Savior who has treaden the winepress alone. And it says that in verse 7, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness, where he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. Now, we look at, as we go through the book of Isaiah, we see this proclamation of Christ being exalted above all. In 66th chapter of Isaiah, the first verse says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? Think often when I read that about these huge edifices, these big micro churches, macro churches, huge edifices. He is not in a temple made with hands. He is the temple. Christ is the temple. Now, he also tells us that in the latter days, the end of days, Christ is going to come back. Christ is ruling and reigning as we speak. But there's coming a time when he's going to come back as a conquering king. We see in the last chapter of Isaiah 66, look at number 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, for it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Well, there's going to be new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we're looking forward to that day when Christ comes back. And he's coming back no longer as a suffering servant, but he's coming back as a conquering king. And we see in the 19th chapter of Revelation, and it says, in verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back as a conquering king. And in chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And then, of course, we have the final chapter, 22. He says in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Well, this is the great hope that we have. An anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure. Jesus Christ is coming back as a conquering king. Do we have a final selection?
Yeah.
Page 1. Okay. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We hope you have a good weekend. I want to remind everyone that we have a men's fellowship call in the morning that takes place at 11 o'clock Central Time. And if you would happen to have an interest in joining us, or if the women would like to join in listening, if you'll send me an email and request a link, I'll make sure that you get it. You can get the best way to email me is go to Larry W. Phillips, all lower caps, LarryWPhillips.com. Go to our guest page and say, I want to be included in the, I want the link for the conference call. And I'll make sure you get it. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And Mark, you want to start that for us?
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, our remnant weak and small. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Ye Gentile sinners, ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, oh, listen to his call. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Well, we hope you have a blessed evening, and we look forward to have the fellowship call in the morning at 11 o'clock Central Time. We're working through the book of Hebrews. Tomorrow we'll be listening to Hebrews chapter 6 and making some comments on that, and we'll be having fellowship one with another. God bless.